Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. It is a figurative captain's chair because I am back on the magical Isle of Vashon. And right across from me is my friend, colleague, and army buddy, Captain Truman O'Brien. And I've got Truman on today because I don't know whether he's going to be able to stay for the whole program. He is welcome to contribute, as he always does, even sometimes without my knowing what he's going to contribute. But I have a little presentation to make to Captain O'Brien, 737 captain with Alaska Airlines, now retired.
Yep.
And so before I get into my regular things, Truman, as always, I have to thank you for engineering for me week when I was indeed up in the captain's chair of a ship that had been under my command. So I really do appreciate that, and we'll be doing other remote programs as I get going on my travels. But knowing that your dance card is full.
Yes.
That I'm going to change my little order.
Yeah.
And I am going to make a presentation because when I was in Key West with my Coast Guard cutter Ingham, I was able to procure something that I want you to have. And because I am one of your Army buddies and you are one of my Ingham buddies, that's what this presentation is. So,
okay.
Are you ready for this?
I guess I am.
Well, I guess you have to be because, after all, this one's my program, yours.
That's right.
So, at one of the functions, I was given the opportunity to acquire a T-shirt. Now, I know that you have a number of T-shirts, and I know that occasionally you wear T-shirts that have legends and other things on them.
Yeah.
I always wear ones that just don't say anything, but because I always have plenty to say myself.
This T-shirt,
But I got this one for you, and so it is dark blue.
Yeah.
I am painting the picture for our listeners all over the world, from Stockholm to Singapore. And I want you to understand that the size of the shirt is the only size that was available to me, and so I took it. It is no reflection on the size that you would normally wear.
So it's an extra, extra large. Is that what you're telling me?
It says 2X-ray Lima.
Oh, that's there. It'll fit perfectly.
Made in Honduras.
I'm ready for it.
It has a picture of the ship on it.
Yes, yes.
And the legend says, retired but still afloat. USCGC Ingham, WHEC 35, which is her hull number, Key West, Florida. And I am passing this across to you.
That is
And I am waiting for a suitable expression of delight.
Well, let me tell you that, first of all, the first thing I noticed, Captain Joe, is that this is quality material. This is not your run-of-the-mill T-shirt.
Well, I'm not a run-of-the-mill captain, and Ingham is certainly not a run-of-the-mill cutter.
So that's what I'm saying. This is quality.
Yes, yes, it is.
And I will wear it proudly. I think I'm really impressed. But I do have a question for you, though.
All right, go ahead.
And I was speaking to you while you were up in the captain's chair.
Yep.
And I want to know, how did that feel? Did that feel to you?
Yeah.
Did you feel really comfortable? Did you feel, you know, was there nostalgia involved?
Yes. So after that broadcast, and I had a little bit of time to reflect on exactly what you're asking me about how I felt. So the first thing that I felt was that as I went up onto the bridge, I could see and feel and hear all of the commands that go. And in particular, before I got up in the chair myself, I could see the image of my captain who I served as his XO in Vietnam. And then when we came back from Vietnam, I pleaded up and I became the captain of that ship and thus earned the right to sit up in the captain's chair myself. So the first thing was that I could see Neil, and I could hear him, and I could hear all of the commands. And I went out onto the starboard bridge wing, which is where I would be conning the ship for a gunfire support mission or for a medical mission. We did a number of those. Or for an underway replenishment. My eyes grew dim.
Yeah.
My eyes grew dim because so many of those people, including Neil, are across their own bar.
Right.
And I am, in fact, her senior living captain.
Oh, you are? Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So that was the first thing. I could feel and see and hear. And then I got up in the chair myself. I was offered some help to get up in the chair, which I slapped aside.
I'll bet you did.
Because it came from another person who was of years beyond my own, both chronologically and in every other way. I said, essentially, get the hell out of my... I'll get myself up in my own chair. And so an entirely different set of emotions came over me then.
Hmm.
Because she was number three of my six commands, six commands afloat, and she was one of the most beautiful in terms of aesthetics, just looking at her.
Right.
And she was one of the most predictable to handle. And she had wonderful, wonderful qualities. Anybody who believes that ships do not talk to their captains have never commanded.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people who believe that ships do not have personalities have never commanded. Right. I can assure you that both of those things are true.
Yeah.
And so my eyes grew even dimmer as I sat there and I looked out through the ports and out over the bow. And it was as if the first patrol that I took her on after I relieved was up into Davis Strait, up to Weather Station Bravo.
Right.
And Davis Strait, of course, is a really nasty place in the summer, and this was in the autumn, and it was really bad.
Oh, boy.
Really bad. And we were in fog from the time that I left Berkeley Station all the way up into Argentia to fuel, and then from Argentia out onto station. And then back, and the fog signal was going, the foghorn was going that entire time. That was 3 months.
Wow.
And so all of those emotions were combined with sadness that so many of those shipmates
have gone.
Yeah. Were gone.
Yeah.
And,
you know, I have to tell you, Captain Joe, I got the opportunity. I'd been retired about 10 or 12 years. And I got the opportunity to go back in and fly a simulator.
Mm-hmm.
And
remember that, yes.
Yeah. And when I sat down and I thought, oh gosh, I hope I don't embarrass myself, you know. And when I sat down in the seat, I looked around and I went, oh my gosh, it's just like I've never left.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew what every switch position was supposed to be. I mean, I could reach automatically and reach something and knew, you know. And what really came to me was about a half hour into the simulator session, my left hand got a little sweaty, which it does on the yoke. And without even thinking about anything, I just reached down and opened the little eyeball vent and dried my hand. And about halfway through that drying, I went, oh my gosh, I forgot that thing was down there. But my hand didn't forget. You know, it knew that it was there. And anyway, I found that very interesting.
So to complement that particular story, I in my mind, I got her underway.
Oh, yeah.
And I remembered every one of the commands
yeah.
and every one of the instructions that you give to the helmsman. And this is a ship that is old enough that she did not have bridge controls. And so she had an engine order telegraph to send signals down to the engine room. And I just could see all of the people when you are at battle stations or when you are at stations for underway replenishment. All of the people that are all on the bridge, I could remember every single one of them. And
what the commands were and what the responses were.
Yeah.
I have a question about that where you're having to send signals down to the engine room. I would assume that you have to anticipate very, very much ahead of time what you're going to need. Is that correct?
Exactly so. You must stay ahead of the ship. She will get away from you if it's just like flying, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But you not only have to be ahead of her, you have to lead her where you want her to go.
Right.
And you do that by thinking ahead, by
several steps ahead.
Yeah. And figuring the weather, in particular in underway replenishments, where you are working at about 60 to 70 feet from the ship that you are taking fuel from, for example, or ammunition, whatever coming over. The you have to be very attuned to what the ship is doing, because she is giving you signals as to what she's going to do in the next 5 minutes.
Right.
And you issue your helm and engine commands to take that into account. So you have to really stay ahead of her. And I did a lot of training of junior officers at the same time, but always ready there myself to assume the con if it things were starting to get out of hand.
Wow.
So I have one other question for you, and that has to do with transport today.
Yes.
I flew on American Airlines both ways. It's the only nonstop that I could get to Miami from here.
Mm-hmm.
And the aircraft was a 737-800.
Right.
The airworthiness certificate was printed on parchment. It was
it was an older one.
It was an older one. There were still ashtrays in the head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I believe that you probably are very familiar with that aircraft and must have many, many hours in. So how much longer do you think they're going to keep those things going?
Oh, the 800?
Yeah.
Oh, the 800 is not really the older one. It's a 300 now. Now, that's an old one.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys are starting to get retired. And the 200,
mm-hmm.
500s, those are all. But the 7, 8, 900s are not really that old. They're considered next generation. So they'll be around a long time.
So there's still no, the smoking lamp is out in the heads, even with those ashtrays.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to remember which country it was, but in one of the countries where they introduced that airplane with the ashtrays,
mm-hmm.
the people stole the ashtrays.
Mm.
I don't know what they were using them for, but they stole them. And so you'd get on the airplane and there'd be, you know, half a dozen of them missing. So I don't know if they ever replaced them once they were stolen. But
so there was this big hole, this big puka right there,
in the bulkhead.
So travel today is not any fun.
Oh no.
And I when I was coming back, I dropped my rental car off at MIA and went to the gate, which was proclaimed and advertised. I got there and I settled in, and about 40 minutes before the flight was supposed to start loading, they announced a gate change, and it was as far as you can get from one side to the other.
Sure.
I have a friend and colleague who has given in and has used the services of those wheelchair pushers.
Yeah.
And I refused to be a part of that particular activity. But boy, was I ever tempted when I realized how far away it was.
Well, my father finally gave in, and after he got wheeled onto the airplane, he looked at me and he said, "Why did I take so long to decide to do this?"
Well, I'm hanging on.
Yeah, I agree.
So we've got Truman and I always have a wonderful time together when we get on the program, as well as just because we've worked together on so many things for so long. And so I'm going to pick up a couple of pieces of my regular program, and Truman is taking off the headset, and he's going to get underway for whatever he's got on his dance card, taking with him. I noticed that he is taking with him that T-shirt. Truman, I want you to take on a personal note the phrase that's put on there, retired but still afloat. And you're retired, and in my heart, you are still afloat. And I happen to know many of the things that you're still doing for the good of the island community, which is has earned my complete affection and respect. So I'm going now to deliver my greetings, which go not only to Singapore and Stockholm, on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world, including to all the merchant vessels underway who are under the U.S. flag. And I have a reason for proclaiming that. And I now, unfortunately and unhappily, have a couple of binnacle lists that ended in one of the ways that you get off of the binnacle list. And some of my people, some of Captain Joe's people, close aboard, on, in particular, the Coast Guard Channel, have had a COVID-related death close, very close aboard. In another case, a family member, a much-loved family member, was killed after a collision with a very large animal, which reminds me to remind everybody here that we have large animals here on the Magical Isle, and they dart out very quickly, and that's exactly what happened in this case. And then I have to report that my sailor has gone missing in action. He went on patrol 2 days before I came back, and he has not yet returned. And I am now very much concerned that either he got taken out by some animal larger than he, because he is a incredibly independent spirit and self-contained like his captain. There's no way that I would have or could have kept him inside all the time. It would have destroyed his soul. And just as my own feelings about that were reflected in his, but he was a great friend and a great support and help during the months after Mary's death. And I'm hoping that he is out there and that he will make his way home. In addition to my report from Key West, I have to report that the board of directors for the Ingham Association came up short on a member. There was a resignation by a member who had been on the board for a number of years, and he just was not able to perform his duties any longer. And there was this great silence, as there is always at this sort of time, a much looking around, and I said, all right, if there is no preclusion in the bylaws that would keep me from not having to be co-located with the rest of the board members on the East Coast, then I will establish a board position on the West Coast, and that's what I did. So I have now become a board member for the Ingham Association, and have a few ideas as to how we can, among other things, raise some money, because Ingham needs to go up into the dry dock. She's not been dry docked for 10 years. And the museum, which is connected to her, is about $500,000 short. So we're going to be doing some creative fundraising to raise the money so that she can be dry docked. She is a wonderful piece of our American history. She has 6 rows of ribbons, 17 battle stars from World War II and from Vietnam, and 2 presidential unit citations, and I had a small part in earning many of those awards. So I will be working with the board to help raise the money so that we can get her up in the dry dock. I've been getting a number of offers for my home, for captain's quarters. I get them by email. I get them by regular mail. I get them by text. I get them by telephone. And I would not be surprised if pretty soon I start getting them by people walking down my driveway and making me cash offers. I'm not interested. I made a commitment to my children and to Captain Joe's people when Mary died that I was going to stay in that house. I'm going to keep that word. It is the right place for me to be. I am using people to come in and help me with the maintenance of it, but I'm staying there, and even if it becomes necessary, which it has not yet, for me to have people come in and help me with personal services, there are people who make their living here on the island to do that. So all of these people who send me this traffic saying, we want to buy your house, you are, I guess I'm about to use one of the expressions that we are forbidden to say. So I'm going to say that you are just whizzing up a slack halyard on that one, and Captain Joe is going to stay in Captain's quarters until it is time for me to cross my own bar. I'm really concerned about what's happening with our ferry system. I lust in my black captain's heart to take that system over for about 6 months and bring some changes, including some changes of attitude of some of the employees. We're getting more and more signals from the ferry system telling us that sailings are being canceled because they lack a Coast Guard certificated crew. I would be happy to accept full responsibility for being both a Coast Guard member and for being the captain of the port and requiring that everyone who sails in those ships be, in fact, properly licensed for the officers and documented for the non-licensed personnel. Those people are there not to guide traffic, although they do that with a notable lack of skill in most cases, but they are actually there to make sure that each one of us gets into a life jacket should one of those boats have some sort of a maritime emergency, a collision, an elision, or a grounding. So it just is beyond my understanding why the ferry system is not able to recruit, train, and have enough people and enough people in afloat so that they never have to cancel sailings. I was, before I went to Key West, I was stuck over on the mainland side could not get back to the island for a long, long time because they had the ferry system had canceled a number of sailings. And happy was I that I did not have to make a flight because there must have been people that missed some of their flights in order to, because they were not able to sail all of the sailings that were in the schedule. So my concern has now been expressed. My offer to go pro bono as a head of the ferry system for 6 months, I think 6 months we would be able to make some real headway. And one of the things that I would do would be to get out and ride personally on the bridge every single one of those ferry routes two or three times to get a feel for what was actually going on in the system. I hope that the port captain, who is the senior captain in all of the captains that they have in the ferry system, I hope the port captain is doing just that. But if he were, he would see some of these things that I see as a person no longer welcomed on the bridge. And that's my hope, that they get out and at least see what is going on. Marine traffic today, the MSC ANS, A-N-S, Panamanian flag, is sitting in the federal anchorage right off of Captain's Quarters. The interesting thing about her is that she is a container ship. Once again, she went first to Tacoma, was not able to complete her business in Tacoma, is now sitting out on the federal anchorage waiting to go back to Tacoma. She is riding high. She's very light. She's showing her bulb, her bow bulb, and is certainly going to be picking up cargo to head back to Asia. The another interesting thing about her, though, is that she is owned by a German company. MSC, by the way, stands for Mediterranean Shipping Company, has the big letters MSC, Mike Sierra Charlie, painted right on the side of the ship. and that stands for Mediterranean Shipping Company. She is owned nominally by a German company. She is managed by a Cyprus company. Her technical support comes from a Swiss company. She is insured in the United Kingdom, and she is in a U.S. port. So should she have an accident here in U.S. waters, she would be investigated by representatives of each one of those flags, a mini United Nations, a mini Security Council, mustering right on her quarterdeck. In G-Captain, in reading G-Captain, I came across a very interesting article which I'm hoping that some of you will take a look at. It is today's G-Captain submission, and it is a story of 10 years ago, the motor vessel Reina ran aground on the Astrolabe Reef in New Zealand. It was then and remains today the most disastrous environmental situation at sea that has happened in New Zealand. And she was under the Liberian flag. Her captain was imprisoned because he had not done a number of things that are part of the seaman-like profession. And one of the things that came out during the investigation was that she had some unmanifested dangerous cargo in some of her containers. So when ships are allowed to be loaded that way with unmanifested cargo and dangerous cargo, that brings into play all sorts of situations which make it extremely difficult to deal with from, first of all, a corrective action, and then secondly, any criminal action. So her captain did indeed go to prison for this, and the reason that I'm recommending it is that there is a whole series of photographs which show her as she both destroyed herself on the reef and as she got taken apart by her salvors. And she was attempted to be salved by the Smit company, which is that famous Dutch towing company, deep sea towing company, which is the model for John de Hartog's The Captain. And I've talked about that book a number of times, and it is one of my favorite books about command philosophy, and the challenges of command at sea. So I recommend that you go on to G Captain, take a look at today's, and the name of the ship is the motor vessel Reina, R-E-N-A, and there's a whole series of photographs as she takes herself apart on that reef. The magazine this week is The Week. It is a British magazine. It summarizes press articles from all over the world each week. It is one of my favorites. And one of the best parts of it is that right in the middle of the magazine is a feature called Best Properties on the Market. And it lists pieces of land and houses that are for sale all over the UK. And I have now, once again, and all too quickly, and with other material to talk about, come to the end of my time. I want to recognize again Truman's help with my broadcast of last week and the ones that we will do in the future. And next week, the captain and the mate are going to go to sea again after many, many requests and positive comments about the program that Madeline and I did together a few weeks ago. So many, in fact, that we decided to do another one while she is still ashore before she goes to sea again. And with that, it is time for me to proclaim my wish, my desire, my command that each one of you who is responsible for somebody else, watch their six, take really good care of them. We are beginning to see the end of this virus thing, and every time I've said that, something pops up. So I'm not going to say it this time. I'm just going to say that each one of you, for your part, you be on station and watching properly, as is always your Captain Joe. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, right here from the captain's chair next week, and it will be the captain and the mate show for some new material, and we're really looking forward to being together again and to giving you that program. Everyone, take care.